this is your Polycast for Monday, November 21st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a new agenda at the state capitol and Iron Range workers on the presidential election. Hennepin County election staff completed the recount for Minnesota Senate District 44 in the Plymouth and Minnetonka area. It was a Senate seat there that was recounted. The vote totals changed a little, but the results didn't. Republican Paul Anderson still defeated Democrat Deb Calvert for the seat that used to be held by Democrat Terry Bonoff. The results will become official later this month when the state canvassing board meets. There's one more recount to be done for a St. Cloud area Senate seat. But assuming nothing changes there, Republicans will have full control of the Minnesota legislature starting in January. That means they'll set the agenda and decide which parts of Democratic Governor Mark Dayton's wish list get traction. The new alignment is likely to reshape Capitol debates over gun laws, workplace benefits, environmental regulations, and much more. Brian Baxt has the story.
Groups that wanted expanded background checks for gun purchases in Minnesota thought they were close to making it happen. They spent loads of money in select Minnesota House races in search of a Democratic majority to get them over the top. They fell considerably short there and went backwards in the Senate. Now, the other side sees opportunity.
I don't anticipate any hearings on any type of gun control legislation like we've seen in the past.
That's Brian Strausser, chairman of the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus. And instead of playing defense at the Capitol, Strausser says he hopes to see movement on bills to reframe the state's self-defense laws, to reduce fees for handgun permits, and to recognize carry permits from other states.
I do anticipate that we'll see bills come forward in 2017 that are around strengthening the Second Amendment rights for law-abiding gun owners in Minnesota.
The gun issue is just one of several in store for a shakeup. Republicans have considerably more power after adding a few seats to their House majority and gaining control of the Senate by one seat. The party that holds the gavels decides which bills move and which ones stall. But Governor Dayton still has the power to sign or veto legislation.
It's going to be unrealistic for Minnesotans to send a group of people that are closely divided and have very deep differences and expect it's all going to be peace and harmony. It's not. They send us a divided government to here at St. Paul, and they're going to get divided government for better and for worse.
Dayton made those comments the day after the election. He hasn't said much since and declined to be interviewed for this story. He and his Democratic allies are still trying to make sense of what changes are in store. Here's a snapshot of the altered agenda. Out, any new light rail transit projects or a gas tax hike for road projects. In, an asphalt-driven transportation plan fed by existing tax dreams and borrowing. Out, expanded early voting and restoration of voting rights for felons. In, proposals to segregate ballots of voters whose registration gets challenged. Possibly out, the MinSure health insurance exchange. In, well, that depends on what President Donald Trump and a unified Republican Congress do with the federal health law. Some of the starkest changes could revolve around regulations on businesses, from environmental permitting to benefits for workers. Cam Winton is with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce.
There are a lot of small business people who have been elected in the newly incoming legislature. And so we think that the next legislature is going to understand that if we pass one-size-fits-all mandates, that's hurting Minnesotans.
The chamber intends to seek a state law barring cities from adopting their own workplace rules or sick time ordinances, as has happened in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Winton says the group's members want to scrap automatic inflationary increases in the state's minimum wage. And he says the push for a payroll tax-funded paid family and medical leave law is almost certainly off the table.
It was important to have flexibility, that employers needed to have the flexibility to have workplace benefits that worked for their workplace.
If the business lobby's enhanced clout halts the drive for up to 12 weeks of partially paid time off, that will be disappointing to Jessica Anderson. She works for the Children's Defense Fund and is part of the Minnesotans for Paid Family Leave Coalition. Anderson says the coalition isn't surrendering and says legislators can expect to hear from supporters of the initiative back in their districts.
If they want to help small businesses to be able to afford to provide these benefits, to compete with the larger businesses who are able to provide these kinds of benefits. And if they want to help grow our economy, then they will support paid family and medical leave.
The new session begins January 3rd. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The Iron Range in northeastern Minnesota has historically been a Democratic stronghold, but Donald Trump nearly won the election there this year. He carried the region's largest city, Hibbing, by 7 votes. Reporter Dan Crocker spent some time on the range last week talking to voters about why they chose Trump and what they hope for from his presidency.
Eveleth Mayor Bob Vlasalovich grew up on the Iron Range, where his dad and grandpa were proud miners and staunch Democrats.
And everybody who came to the house and everybody you went to town with, Republican was a scary thing.
But this year, Vlasalovich was a vocal Trump supporter. He's even got a Trump bumper sticker plastered to his desk at Eveleth City Hall.
I felt kind of bad when you grew up with the party. Your father, your grandfather's hard-working people, you know, and the party represented them in a very good way. And now it's drifting away from the values they set up.
The small-town mayor made headlines during the campaign when he wrote a letter to the editor of the local paper, urging Rangers to back Trump. He says for him, it was an economic decision. He believes Democrats are too beholden to environmental groups and have become less supportive of mining.
So I thought I'm going to go with the one I thought best represents our interests, and I never thought the Republican Party would be the working man's party.
And 2 conies with the works.
Okay.
You want the works?
Over in Hibbing, people lined up outside Dino's Coney Island for hot dogs over the lunch hour. 20-year-old Hawken Bronze is studying auto mechanics at Hibbing Community College. He voted for Trump.
Well, I've been watching politics for years, and I've been saying for years that we needed to have a normal guy in office who wasn't a politician.
Bronze was in line with 19-year-old Britton Show, who's also studying auto mechanics and who also chose Trump.
I'm one of them people that is a firm believer in the better the economy, the better the country. And being that he's one of the richer men in the world, I figure he knows what to do with his money. And
that reasoning mystifies Cliff Toby. Toby is president of Steelworkers Local Union 2660 in Keewatin, where Keetac, the big iron ore mine there, has been closed for a year and a half.
I understand how angry American workers are because I feel that same anger. I've been involved with it for so long. What I don't understand is how people think a system which seems to give all the advantages to the ultra-wealthy, why people would think that electing someone that's part of that category is somehow going to change their plight in life. It just amazes me.
The local unions on the Iron Range all endorsed Hillary Clinton, but a mine worker who didn't want to be interviewed told me that while the union leadership at his mine all supported Clinton, many of the rank-and-file workers quietly backed Trump. And so did many other range voters who typically vote Democratic, like 60-year-old John Gilla of Hibbing. Gilla says it's hard to see so many boarded-up storefronts in Iron Range towns. He's hopeful Trump can help jumpstart mining and the local economy.
Something's got to change where something has to come in up here or something where there's more work for people at a good wage. Not just a minimum wage, but a good wage where people can make a living. So they can put money back in the economy.
That frustration swept across blue-collar areas of the upper Midwest, where the Rust Belt became the Trump Belt. A huge swath of the country that voted for Obama in past elections this year went for Trump. Still on the Iron Range, most local and state DFLers easily won re-election, and Democratic Congressman Rick Nolan beat back a stiff challenge from Republican Stuart Mills. Eveleth Mayor Bob Vlasalovich says Donald Trump connected with voters here in a way that other GOP candidates didn't.
Well, growing up on Iron Range, Donald Trump talked just like the old-timers up there. And Donald Trump just tells you, if you like it or not, he's telling you. And that's kind of the people I grew up with. They gave it to you whether you liked it or not, and it was the truth.
Still, Vlasalovich says if the DFL goes back to its roots, to sticking up for blue-collar workers, he believes the Democratic Party will still likely be the brand of choice on the Iron Range in the future. Dan Crocker, Minnesota Public Radio News, on the Iron Range.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.